Okay, so thank you so much for meeting with us. Mm-hmm. So can you begin by telling us about the work you do and how you got into the work and why you do it, what you think is valuable in the work that you do?
Sure. So currently, my position is ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis Services Director here at CSAC. So we oversee school-based programming and home-based programming for kids up to age 21, mm-hmm. Both through school contracts and insurance contracts, because it's mm-hmm. now Vermont has mandated that insurance cover services for children and young adults on the spectrum. So my overall goal is that we can help these kids figure out or have develop skills so they can access the community mm-hmm. and be happy, have fun, have relationships, and help them so just core skills of communication, recreation I think is a core skill, and dealing with frustration and tolerating kind of confusing events, like how can I help them do that. I started out working one-on-one back in 2004 mm-hmm. As a BI, and before that I was finishing up my undergrad degree and I was doing an internship at the Parent-Child Center with a child on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so through that kind of led mm-hmm. and I don't fully know why I'm in this work. I think partly I'm a very quiet person, and so I really enjoy all the kids that I support, and I have a lot of empathy, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't fully know what it's like to walk in their shoes, but I try really hard to kind of see from their perspective. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I always do this. I love nonverbal people. It's like, I prefer not talking.
Yeah.
I didn't know it necessarily because I talk a lot. It's fun to be with someone who's not making a lot of demands on my verbal capacity. Okay, so the question here is, how are services for autistic adults different from those for autistic children and youth? And so that's not really your specialty, is services for autistic adults. But what is your experience more sort of putting this in more of the context of what I understand to be your experience? How has it been to support youth as they approach that transition and as they become adults? And what are some of the issues that you've confronted with that?
I think things are changing. I think that traditionally I think the huge difference is intensity drops. So there's a big emphasis on early intervention, and sometimes through the years, like, schools will keep with that intensity. Mm-hmm. But when school ends, the model shifts, because I think there's still, though it pairs off as they get older, that idea that you can, that intensity is important. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it changes from a teaching model to a caregiver model, I mm-hmm. think. Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, things are changing. I think more and more people are writing behavioral services into, like, a Medicaid waiver for adults, recognizing mm-hmm. there's still things they can learn and there's some benefit in trying to still focus on learning new skills. Mm-hmm. Because I think, and it's a nice, I think it comes from a very humanitarian place, that idea that as an adult, you have the right to just live your life, mm-hmm. that you are who you are. And so we're just gonna help you be who you are. So that I absolutely embrace, but I think there's still, I like the idea though that I think everyone, like, I have the right to continue education and learning new skills. That, mm-hmm. I think the shift is, how do we make sure that, how do we help those adults advocate for themselves about what skills they want and what's important to them, and not have like a curriculum imposed, which is kind of, that's what being young is.
Is right.
Things are imposed upon you. And that's supporting those transition aid adults. It's a huge shift. How do we help the schools and ourselves kind of remember that, you know, we're at that place where we still want them to continue to learn and to strive, but we also have to start really honoring their interests, their yaks and yums, what they want to do, what they don't want to do. Mm-hmm.
What was that word you used? X? We have to start honoring their... Did you use an acronym?
I don't think so. I might have mumbled.
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
That's
all
right.
Okay.
Honoring their interests, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. That might have been it. So I kind of wanted to ask a follow-up about that. So in terms of supporting them in the community, mm-hmm. that, you know, there is this term falling off the cliff. Mm-hmm. Is that something you see happen? Do you see services being sort of, you say there's an intensity to child and youth services, intervention, autism
right.
intervention, that ceases once they arrive at adulthood. And part of that is a positive validation of what their interests and abilities are, just letting them learn, helping them to sustain a life in the mm-hmm. in the community. But is there, do you, are the services, do you see that happening for the people you work with when they become adults, sort of entering into a void? Of services or resources? Is the transition smooth, rough?
I think it really varies, and it depends on how well a family is able to advocate, mm-hmm. I think, and how much of a network they have. Because mm-hmm. I think that's where I see the discrepancy, is when I'm supporting a family that doesn't have a lot of resources. It may not have a great understanding of their child's needs. Mm-hmm. It can be difficult because it's definitely it really varies. But even with a strong family, the resources are different. I think, and again, it would be good to talk to an adult service person, but
right.
the two main areas of support are job mm-hmm. and then community support. So, and I think the intensity of supports is really on jobs.
Yeah.
So the hours available for kind of being out and about, you could be up to like 30 hours a week mm-hmm. if there's the possibility of employment.
Right.
But the community integration part, I think, is less, like maybe mm-hmm. 10, 12 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that just, you know, take you out in the community and just kind of support and kind of living mm-hmm. Life out mm-hmm. and about. And so I think that can be difficult when you have a child that isn't ready, or a young adult that uh-huh. isn't quite ready for employment.
Right.
You know, how does that balance work out?
Well, that comes to another question, which is about degrees of impairment
mm-hmm.
and how that shapes the trajectory mm-hmm. of that moment of entry into adulthood. And you're sort of saying, if a young person who is leaving behind the educational services and the youth services doesn't really have the capacity to work 30 hours a week, that they are at a sort of disadvantage?
Potentially. And again, I would talk to get clarification from mm-hmm. somebody who works in adult services. But my understanding, helping some young adults move forward, is that was, my understanding was that was communicated to me, that the bulk of supports is in jobs
mm-hmm.
and that the community support isn't as mm-hmm. as beefy. And then beyond that, I guess I worry, and I think it's true for any human, that once you leave a kind of an artificial community like school, you're kind of out on your own to mm-hmm. figure out, you know, who's going to be your new group of people.
Right.
And it could be around work, definitely that's a rich source of human interaction. But it can also be hobbies, it can be, you know, your family, and I think it's difficult enough when you have good communication skills, but how that part, I guess that's one of my big sources of worry, is that I don't want these kids to be lonely, because I think depression is just rampant with kids on the spectrum as they get older. That makes me sad. So, like, what can we, you know, what's missing, you know? And like I said, you know, there's a lot of people that also have a hard time leaving high school in general, because it is scary. You have to start and form your own groups and friendships. So I don't know. I guess beyond services, what does the community have for individuals with difficulty communicating or kind of fitting in to the typical expected behavior that that's out there? Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So is there, can you imagine what a way that could happen? You know, it sounds like part of what you're describing, and I interpret it this way partly because I am a parent, but is that once you know, you're my go-to person, right? And Robbie's at school, it's a kind of, you know, one-stop shopping kind of, you know, okay, Robbie's needs are largely being met, and he's stimulated, and he's around people. But once you leave that, once you become, you can get that.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Is it all right if I
quickly, of course,
super fast?
Hallucinating.